חודש טוב ומבורך לכולם. ברוך השם, התחדשות, מהביע התחדשות שלמה, הנה גאולה שלמה. So yesterday we were continuing our discussion of the Machlokas Rabbi Nosson and the Chachomim as to what the halacha is about a chacham when it comes to hatara, because we know that they argued about what the din is of a baal, where the baal needs to be made for a neder before it was even chal, whether he can do that or not. And the question was, what about when it comes to the hatara of a chacham? Can a chacham be matir a neder before it was chal? Or is it the same achlokas? Or when it comes to the chacham, what we saw so far was that Rav Papi claimed that the only time that we had the machlokas was benogea hafara, but when it was nogea the chacham, everybody would be meida. So claimed Rav Papi, everybody would be meida, that when it comes to a chacham, the neder has to be chal, because of the concept of lo yachel devaro, but acherim mochalim lo. The very word lo yachel means not to take something that was chal and be unchalit by being mechalelit, right? It's very beautiful. So therefore, if it wasn't even chal yet, how could it be lo yachelit? Very, very sweet. That was Rav Papi's diak, which was beautiful. He even found the beautiful remuzin that we saw yesterday in the pasuk for the machlokas between Rabbi Nosson and the Chachamim in terms of the hafara. Obviously, very, very beautiful asmachtos, but they were asmachtos that were indications of how we utilize the language of hafara. So we understood that the chafra halivana was the remes to Rabbi Nosson, in which we were talking about that which was already built could have a chafra, which is a hafara, whereas Rabbanan hold lo yachel divaro. That's the mefer machshavot arumim, even the machshava alone would be sufficient. Okay, but when it comes over here to chacham, for sure, ein chacham atiklum, elin kain chal neder, and that was where we got up to yesterday, which was one line above the middle of the page. So today we can continue with today's daf being daf tzadi, and we got up to lema misayel. So let's see if we could bring a raya in this sugya as to whether, in fact, there's a difference between the cases of hafara and hatara or not. Now, remember that all this started with the fact that Rava said, this is very nogea l'halacha, because normally we would say the halacha would be like Rava in this. Rava said that Rav Acha bar Ravuna was a genius, that he got that guy who wanted to learn Shas before he got married and finally realized he ain't ever going to learn Shas. So what he did was he got him to get married, and then he felt only at that point could he get him to be matir the neder. So he splashes a bucket of mud over the poor guy. Then the guy realizes he needs a dry cleaner, but he doesn't have a dry cleaner because he asked Hanav, the whole world on him. Very sweet. So Rava said, he's such a genius, Rav Acha bar Ravuna, because he realized that he needed to get the neder to be chal first. So he had to talk him into getting married. And then after the neder was chal, he could go take him to Rav Chista and he could get a heter on the neder. That's what we had spoken about yesterday. Now, it isn't clear that Rava, who said, wow, Rav Acha bar Ravuna is a genius, is that because he felt that the halacha actually is like that, and that if the guy had not gotten married, there would have been no way to be mad to the nether? Or, as the Ran suggests, and the reason the Ran suggests this is because it's very nogea lahalacha about how to paskin in this sugya, that Rava may not have meant that Rav Acha bar Ravuna was convinced, and I am convinced like him, that we could never have been matir the neder if we hadn't done this. It's just that he wanted to be, and this is another Gavi terminology, even though he seems to be about to leave, he wanted to be matke nafshe midei plukta. Sometimes we find that people say things in order to avoid getting into a machlokas. So maybe, really, Rabbi Nosson and the Chachamim would argue even on this case, and Rav Acha bar Ravuna didn't want people to be able to say, oh, well, Rav Acha bar Ravuna said that the neder doesn't need to be chal. So it could be just did it in order to avoid getting involved in this particular machlokas. And this way, if the neder was chal, then Rav Chista's hatara would have been okay, both are libid Rav Nosson and a libid Chachom. We'll see where this is Nogea shortly, how to understand Rava. But in any event, we could certainly leave the door open to the possibility that Rava was not absolutely committing himself to this particular approach. Hey, for some reason, we're getting a recording here. Okay, I don't know. All right, hopefully the Zoom recording will be good. So that was the possibility in Rava. So now the question is, can we bring a riot to Rav Papi? Rav Papi claims that nobody in his right mind would argue about the Hatara. For sure, Hatara needs to be Chal. And if not, then there's no possibility for the Chacham to be actually Matir. So here is a riot. A guy makes a neder. I'm not going to have any anof from Mr. So-and-so. And if I find a Chacham that is Matir this neder, then I won't have any anof from that Chacham, the bum. Okay, so, whoa. All right. So in this case, what happened? Ulamishanish alalav. If the Chacham is Matir me, then I'm answering him on anof. So then Nishal ala Rishon, V'achakach Nishal ala Sheni, which seems to be saying, okay, look, you can't first be Matir the neder about the Chacham who is Matir it because the Chacham wasn't Matir it yet. So you can only first be Shoyal to the Chacham on the Etzem neder that I won't be Nene from Mr. So-and-so. You get rid of that neder, now the other neder went into effect. Now that the other neder went into effect, now you can be Shoyal on that neder, right? So therefore, you have to first be Shoyal on the original neder and then be Shoyal on the second neder against the Chacham who was Matir, the original neder. Now, if you're going to tell me that you can be Shoel to a Chacham even though the neder wasn't Chal, so then why does the Braisa say that it would only be in the correct order? It should make absolutely no difference. Iboy alahayni chobereshin, iboy alahayni chobereshin. Now, look, this is a very, very low-quality proof, obviously, because even if Rav Papi is wrong, this would be perfectly okay, this Braita, because it could be going on even to Rabbi Nosson, right? The Rabbi Nosson says even by Afara that the din is that you would have to have the Neder Bichal, so Koshken over here. Okay, so that's true. But the Gemara, before it even gets to that, which it could have used as the Dechia of this Raya, it says, you're misunderstanding the whole thing. When it says Rishon V'Acharon, which one do you think is the Rishon? I mean, maybe what it means is the Rishon is that if you want to be Shoyal to the Chacham, then you should make sure that that Chacham won't become Aser to you. So first be Shoyal on that, and then be Shoyal on the other. In other words, perhaps the Mishnah, I mean the Braita here, is not telling you a chronological order. It's just telling you, don't think you can go to someone and be matir both of these nedarim as if they're one neder. They're not one neder. Each one needs to be dealt with separately. So deal with the first one that you want to deal with and then deal with the second one. Maybe that's all it's saying. So miyodai, I kama, I batra. I mean, how do you know how we're referring? We're referring necessarily to an objective, Rishon va'acharon. So that this is not a riot. Okay, fine. Says, well, I'll bring a riot from somewhere else. How about here? Here, in this bright that I'm about to bring you now, there's no way for you to learn that it doesn't mean chronologically, because it says so beferish. Elolema misaye ale, that Rav Papi is right, from the bright that says like this. Konim sheninen el ploni, I'm not going to have any anof from Mr. So-and-so. And if I ever do, I should be a nazir. And if I ever ask on it, I should be a nazir. So, okay, so in this case, first you have to be sure on the neder, and then you have to be shown on the zeros. And obviously over here, we're talking about in order. Neder first. I'm not going to be neder from so-and-so. And then the zeros second, because I was shoyal on that neder. And I said that I'll be a nazir if I'm shoyal on the neder. So why can't you do it the other direction? If you're going to tell me that it would be possible to have a she'ela without the neder being chal yet, then what's the difference? Boy, if you would want to, you could do it the other way around, right? Al Nidro, you can be Ichubereisho or Iboy Al Nisro Ichubereisho. What's the difference? So it must be that the halacha is that when it comes to Hatara, just like Rav Papi said, when it comes to Hatara, you certainly have to first wait until the neder is Chal. And, of course, the obvious answer to this is what we could have offered as an answer to the first question, namely, yes, indeedy. But what does that have to do with Rapapi? How do you know that the bright is not going to leave the Rabbi Nosson? Rabbi Nosson said that this is true even for Hafara, Kol Shekain for Hatara. So forget about it. You don't have a riot of Rapapi from here. It could be Rabbi Nosson. Okay. So far, we have two shitot. One shita is that there's still the machlokas between Rav Nosson and the Chachamim, and that Rava was, again, sub-shitas. Rava was mishabeach the shita that held that the neder had to be chal, or Rava was mishabeach the shita that avoided the issue of whether the neder needed to be chal. And then we had Rav Papi, who said that under all circumstances, nobody would say that when it comes to Hatara, that the neder doesn't have to be chal. Now, actually, the Gemara is about to introduce a third shita, which is the opposite of what Rav Papi was reported by us to say, according to which Rav Papi said exactly the opposite. Omar Ravina, Omar Lima Remar. Maremar said to me that speaking about Papi, your Abba, Hachi Omar Avucha, was your Abba that said to me, you want to know what Rav Papi said? I'll tell you what Rav Papi said, the exact opposite. That the machlokas, Rabbi Nosson al Chachomim, is only when it comes to Hafarat HaBaal. There, the question is, does the neder have to be chal before you could do the hafara? But when it comes to she'ila, there is not even an issue. Of course, you can do the hatara before the neder is even chal. We don't even have a question about it. So this is, of course, the exact opposite of the Gemara that we just had, the way that Rav Papi, the way we understood Rav Papi in the beginning. Now, notice that all of this goes back, of course, to the trigger in our Mishnah, right? Remember, the trigger in our Mishnah was that the woman says, I will not be nehene im osa ani al picha, or if I am nehene to you, I'm asking my, sorry, one moment, please. I'm answering myself to you, if I do anything for my Abba or for your Abba. So now, it's important to realize that even though we said Hareza Yafer in those cases, sorry, I can't get rid of this. Remember that those were special cases because we understand that it's kimat impossible for this neder not to go into effect. Because since even at this point, she's undoubtedly, at one moment or another, she's going to be giving a cup of coffee to her father if he asks her for a cup of coffee. And at that point, the neder will go into effect. So, I mean, the whole point was in the Gemara that in the event that a neder is for sure going to go into effect, then we can be made for it if you hold like the Chachamim. But remember that we had the case before where she makes a t'nai, and we said, okay, so let her not do that. Let her not take a bath and let the neder not come into effect. Why should the Baal be made for? Correct? And that wasn't part of the machlokas, Rabbi Nosson and Chachamim. That was that hafara is only given to the Baal if there's no way to avoid the neder. So that itself is important for us to distinguish. Then we have a different issue that we need to distinguish. How about where the t'nai is dependent in the passage of time? Let's say, in 30 days from now, I will not be able to be neder from you. So then, for sure, the neder is going to be chal. In other words, there's obviously going to be a difference between a case where the neder might never be triggered, or where it's at least theoretically possible that she will never give a cup of coffee to her father. We're over there, I can understand that unless the neder goes into effect, then we don't even know that this neder will go into effect. Maybe she'll buy before the neder even goes into effect. But what is that? If she's going to give her, it could take her a year before she gives a cup of coffee to her father. But where the neder is dependent in nothing that has to happen, So then ain't no chinami. Maybe there's no machlokas. So we really need to distinguish between these three cases, which we'll talk about when we get to the discussion about what the halacha lemaisa is about this issue. Okay, so continuing on, we now have three shitot. We have the shita that the machlokas applies. We have the first version of Rav Papi, that the machlokas Rav Nosson and the Chachamim is only benogea hafarat ha-baal, not nogea the hatarat ha-chacham. And then we have Ravina's version that he got from Maremar, that actually, when it comes to She'ela, divrei ha-kome for afa pishloch al ha-neder, that in that event, the chacham, it means, can be matir, even though the neder never happened, because it says lo yachil divaro, and divaro means it's just like nothing happened. It was just the words, but the neder never went into effect. So lemeima de lo havi be maase. There's no actual application of neder. It's just words. It's just divaro, and nothing came of that divaro. And nonetheless, it says over here lo yachil hu lo yachil aval acherim lo chalim lo, which means that you can be matir. Now, remember that every braita that we bought of the first version of Rav Papi to bring a raya to Rav Papi here can be brought as a raya against Rav Papi, right? Because before, it's true, we were unable to say that it's a raya because, after all, maybe it's just going aliba de Rabbi Nassan. But in this version of Rav Papi, Rabbi Nassan himself would have been made that you can do Hatara. And therefore, the braita that previously we were doicha for being a raya could end up being an absolute checkmate to Rav Papi. And that's what we're about to do. So let's take the two braises that we discussed before as being rayas to the original version of Rav Papi and use them as attacks against Ravina's version of Rav Papi. So meitveh, braita number one that we spoke about before, I am not going to be nene to Mr. So-and-so, and if I find a chacham that's going to be mat to that neder, pow, I'm not going to be nene to that chacham either, bum. So, okay, this is, you know, no good deed goes unrewarded. And so therefore, it says over here, nish'al ala rishon v'acharkach nish'al ala sheni, so the same point. So why? I mean, according to you, everybody agrees that you don't have to wait until the neder goes into effect, and it should be chal right away. In which case, I ask you, am I? Iboy alhai nicho beresha, beresha viboy alhai nicho beresha. Now, here we would be unable to say it's going alibi rabbi nas, right? So we only have the actual answer that we had before when we said it's not a raya. Here it's also not a kasha. Namely, how do you know what rishon v'sheni means? Miyo de hai rishon v'hai sheni? Who's to say that it means chronological order? I mean, it may be in terms of what you want to make sure doesn't happen first. You know, if you're going to go to a chacham, then you want to make sure that he's not going to become us, you in the very act of doing you this favor of being shayal. So maybe that all that the bright is coming to say is that you have to deal with each one of them separately, but it doesn't necessarily mean in the chronological order in which first the netter is chal. But the problem is now that the second brisa does not have an escape clause, because meitveh Konem she'ini nehene for Mr. So-and-so, and if I find a chacham to be matir me, then I should be a nazir. So then it says beferish. Now here it's got to mean what it says. I mean, it can't mean miyodea. It says what? First he has to be shayel on the neder, which was already chal, that he won't be nene to Mr. So-and-so. And only then, when the nazirut goes into effect, only then can he be shayel on the nazirut. Now, this doesn't make any sense, according to Rav Papi Aliba Marema, right? Because Vamai, you say that even Rabbi Nosson is made us. You can't say that we're going Aliba Rabbi Nosson. You claimed that even Rabbi Nosson is made, eh? That Iboi Al Nidroi Dichal Bereshu, Iboi Al Nizroi Dichal Bereshu. It doesn't make any difference because we're talking about Hatara. And by Hatara, it says Divaro. And Divaro means that it wasn't even Chal yet. So, this is our problem, is it not? It is indeed. The yufta of Rav Papi number two, Rav Papi Aliber Maremar, the yufta. So this is the end of that approach to Rav Papi. So we're left basically with the two approaches that we mentioned before. Either the machlokas indeed is applicable still, or we go like Rav Papi and we say that everybody would be meida in this case. Now the Ramban and the Ran paskin over here, like the Rabbanan, who argue on Rabbi Nassim with the simple klal of Yochid Varabim Alokha Karabim, and that even though the netter is in chal, that the Baal can be made for. Not to mention the fact that we've seen much more about this than you've allowed to let on. I mean, we had before the idea that, remember Rabbi Akiva said that if a woman says, when I get divorced, so I should be asur to you, she should be made for, because when she gets divorced, then she will become asura. What do you mean? The netter didn't go into effect yet. So what's Rabbi Akiva talking about? You should be made for. So obviously Rabbi Akiva was already paskening this way, that you could be made for a netter before it goes into effect, right? So that we had already from before, the way we learned the sugya here, we learned the sugya of Rabbi Akiva. And therefore, we also remember we had the case here, which according to if she says, im erchatz, im lo erchatz, at the beginning, how did we understand that? That in the event that I am rochetz, then I should be osir to ever be rochetz, right? That was the way that we understood it. It should be mefer. How can he be mefer? I mean, according to Rabbi Nassim, you can't be mefer because it wasn't chal yet. You see over there also, we took for granted it could be chal. So then the question is, but what about the fact that Rava said it's a good genius, Rav Acha was a genius that he made it work out. Apparently, Rava was saying that the halacha is that he made it work out a little bit of Rabbi Nassim. So that's why it's important for us to say, Rava wasn't necessarily saying that at all. Rava was just saying it was so smart of him to avoid the machlokas. But in terms of the psak, it would not be nogea. Now, that's the way the Ran understands it, and that's the way the Ramban understands it. And again, this is only where the neder that she was made, the tnai that she made a tolo in, was almost impossible for her to avoid triggering the neder. So then we say that he should be made for. But otherwise, we have the questions that we had before, where she said, well, you know, if I don't wash, so then I should never wash again. So we had the whole din, a little bit of, okay, so let her not wash, a little bit of Yossi, if that considered to be inui nefesh. What do you mean? Why? Let him just be made for. So again, there needs to be an understanding that we're dealing with an issue that is for sure going to happen. So that was the case that we had over here in our Mishnah. Now, the question is whether this is true about a netter that automatically goes into effect after 30 days, as opposed to the issues where over here, maybe it will go into effect, maybe it won't go into effect. It could be that there's not even a machlokas between Rabbi Nassim and the Rabbanan in that case, and the Ran says he believes that that's really true, even though there are those who disagree, and that we need to understand that the whole machlokas was not where the netter was automatically going to be triggered. Over there, even Rabbi Nassim is made. And that concludes the discussion over here about HaTorah and HaFora in cases where the netter was not as yet chal, and as you can understand, this has profound implications for the mechanisms of both HaTorah and HaFora. What is it that they are dealing with? There's obviously going to be a completely different way of looking at the idea of HaTorah if it's achievable without a netter being extant. I mean, that's for sure. This is not dealing with, okay, so what was it that you were thinking, and can I undo the netter because the Torah gave me the keyach to deal with you in terms of the netter? It's I deal with you in terms of your thoughts about the netter and not about the netter per se. So I'm undoing the original machshava, and that was more like the lo yachel dvaro, even though it's only dibur b'yama. And now that brings us up to on this wonderful Rosh Chodesh. Wait a minute over here. We're talking about a hitchatshut of a new Mishnah, not a boredom. We're talking about dancing as fast as you can on Rosh Chodesh. This is not just any old Rosh Chodesh. This is a Rosh Chodesh about Tu Bishvat coming up. Now, surely you want to sing a little song about Tu Bishvat Igi or something like that?
And it's the last Mishnah of the Masechta.
And
Look, hey, look at Mishnah.
there we go. Okay, you can feel two bishvat in the air, especially when you're down in a lot and you've got a blossoming tree in your backyard. All right, so now our Mishnah, the final Mishnah of Masechet Nedarim. On Rosh Chodesh, we have to deal with ends. We should be dealing with beginnings. If it would be 2 days Rosh Chodesh, no, Mamela, the first day of Rosh Chodesh would have been perfect for dealing with the end, and then the second day would have been the beginning. What are we going to do now? Maybe there was a toast in the calendar? Somebody look it up, make sure that this is really the first day of Shvat. Barish or not? So now the question is, the changes in society that lead to profound changes in the halacha. Now remember that the entire issue, this whole Mishnah doesn't seem to belong here, as you're going to see, but that the entire issue of the aspects of a heter nedarim, when it comes to bein ish l'ishto, are nogea that interrelationship, right? And it's all about whether the woman feels this dependency in the husband, and the husband can therefore be made for the neder, and the Torah says that this is an underlying psychological reality, and therefore we're allowed to apply it, even in the Rabban, as we've spoken many times. Now, there are other issues which have to do with the interrelationship of a husband and wife, and remember that this concept of the Dorim we saw was very, very important even in determining the entire history of the marriage, because we talked about before when we were learning Ketuvot, we were talking about cases where someone, we had it here too, of course, somebody marries a woman with the understanding that there's no Nedarim on her, and then we take off the Nedarim through the HaTorah V'Chacham, and the Chacham is matir back at the moment, and he's oiker the Neder as if it was never there, so then there's a Kiddush. But that means that the existence of Nedarim, not even Nedarim that are necessarily ben ol v'inah, is itself a very profound question as to how she relates to her husband and to reality. If she goes around making Nedarim, then remember, there is a sense of this woman living in a different world than me. Because that was the whole point about HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying it's like Bona Boma, which we just came back to yesterday with that beautiful interrelationship of Binyan and Lavana and Chafra, and that it's all about Binyan of a Boma. That's really wild. I mean, it's very far-fetched, unless you take that very seriously. And I think that you yourselves, if you just think about it in personal terms, how you would feel about the fact that your wife is going around creating new Yisurim and having all kinds of new ideas, and she's become like, I don't know, it's like being a cult member or something, you know what I mean? So there's this sense of, you know, I can't really relate to a woman like that. I mean, she's into this magic, into that superstition, into that, and she's driving me nuts. So that is, in fact, a real consideration. So now the question is, what other issues could bring about an end to a relationship in such a way that it would actually be mechayev you to give a get, and nonetheless would still allow her to collect a ksuva, because over there it's a question of your need to get rid of her and not her need to be gotten rid of, and therefore the ksuva would still be extant. Now we have three cases like that, and just like Nedarim themselves are totally on Lashon B'nei Adam, the social context of things is also very important. Now, this Mishnah basically describes a world before Me Too. And I mean that very seriously. A Me Too world is a world without any busha. There's nothing that's private. There's nothing that isn't meant to be everybody's business. And therefore, the Mishnah no longer is in effect, as the Gemara is going to explain. And therefore, we have like this. Brishona, back when society was functional, Hayu omrim shalosh nashim yotzot v'notolot ketuvah. So there's three cases where a woman is believed to say something, the husband will have to divorce her, and she still will get her Ketubah, surprisingly, because, I mean, if she's saying something, then she's the catalyst of the divorce. And therefore, for her to collect the Ketubah, when she's the catalyst, you have to ask yourself, wait a minute. I mean, maybe we get divorced, but why should we believe her to collect her Ketubah? I mean, that's mumminess, right? We're going to be motzi mumin from someone because someone says something that we believe, and therefore she can now collect money because we believe you. Why do we believe you? So here are the three cases. She says to her husband, Tmeya anilecha, I have been raped. Now, we're talking about, even though what she's saying is, I am asura because I've slept with someone else. Obviously, she can't collect her ksuva if she slept with someone else, and she admits that she forfeited her ksuva by being an adulteress. So she must be talking about to a kohen. And she's telling a kohen, look, I was raped, and therefore I'm asura to you. Because if her husband is a Yisrael, who cares if she was raped? I mean, why would he have to divorce her? And therefore, the whole Mishnah wouldn't make any sense. Over here, she gets divorced, which means that we believe her that she's asura. And nonetheless, she could still say, look, it's not my fault that you need to divorce me. You know, if I was married to a normal person, I wouldn't need to get divorced. It's all because you and your crazy kahuna stuff. That's the only reason that I'm asura. Well, it's not my problem. That's your problem. Who told you to be a kohen? So in other words, if the problem is not a problem in marriage, per se, and here it's clearly not a problem in marriage. If you weren't a kohen, there would be no problem in our relationship just because I was raped. And she's believed. Now, it turns out she's believed because of the fact that she would never have said something like that if it were not true. What woman is going to be mezalzelet in herself to say that I was raped? Which, of course, I mean, it's exactly the opposite. What do you mean? I've got a great opportunity to be out there on TikTok or YouTube or whatever, you know, and I can be the new symbol of women's rights. And yes, I was raped and I was abused. And I here's the whole story, and be right up there at the in the headlines for today. Every day, of course, we need a new victim. And therefore, we should bedafka not believe her. So that, the Gemara says, that's true. As society broke down, then this whole idea is no longer true. But originally, people would not brag about being raped, right? So that's case number one. Case number two is that she says, Shamayim beini levenecha. So what does that mean? The Gemara comes out, Shamayim beini levenecha is, listen here, you are a terrible ejaculator. And basically, you're never going to get me pregnant. And therefore, I want a baby. Why do you want a baby? You're not chayevet in Piri Rivia. I want a baby because I need to have somebody to hold my hand as I get older and to bury me when I die. And if I'm not going to have any descendants, I'm going to be left all alone. That's bo machmas ta'ana. We had that back in Ksuvus, that a woman has every right to ta'ana that, even though she can't complain about not having a child just on the basis of Piri Rivia, which is not muhuyevet. And in that case, again, who would be insane enough to talk about her husband's getting it up or ejaculating properly? I mean, it's the most embarrassing thing in the world. Of course, now the Me Too for poor ejaculators. I mean, it's like, wow, okay, this is great. I'm another poster girl. So again, as the Gemara says, that no longer applies, but it used to apply. And if she actually says something like this, it's got to be true. I mean, otherwise she'd be insane, right? We don't suspect her being insane. So, Pamela, we believe her. Wow. What differences in society, no? Okay. And the last case is where she says that I am netula ani min hayudim. So she says, I asur myself from all people from ever having sex with anybody. So that must mean that she has serious physical issues in which she finds intercourse very painful, and therefore she's an anusa. I mean, what person would possibly be crazy enough to assert themselves in sex unless there's a real problem? So we believe that. And if that's the case, then she's considered to be like a woman who is ill, and therefore you can't have a wife that you're going to put through hell, and because of that, you need to give her a get, since it's not her fault. So Mamela, we also will be mechayvi to give her a ktuva. But then, chazru lomar, then they said that's no longer true. Why? Because in all of these cases, women are no longer embarrassed to say anything. And therefore, a woman who wants to get out of a marriage, if she's notenet einea ba'acher, so then she can, we're going to give her like this to hold over her husband, that all she needs to do is to say that she was raped, or if he's not a Kohen, all she needs to do is to say he's a poor ejaculator, or she needs to say, oh, I'm going through hell with sex. Any woman will say that. Who cares? You know, it's just a Me Too group. And then what's going to happen? She can end up forcing her husband to give her a ksuva and to divorce her? Get out of here. We can't allow relationships to be destroyed by that kind of possibility. And therefore, in order, so we gave new clawing. Somebody says to me, Ani lecha, we do not believe her. Let her bring witnesses that she was raped. Just because she was raped, we're going to answer her. She claimed she was raped. She says, Hashamayim benila v'enacha. Well, what are we going to do about that? We're not going to believe her about how he ejaculates. What we'll do is, we will be, there's different approaches over here about what derech bakasha means. So derech bakasha runs the gamut from saying, we can ask the guy nicely, we can tell the husband, look, you know, it's none of our business, and of course you're not mechuyev to give her a get, but the fact is she really feels that your ejaculate will never get her pregnant, and therefore maybe it would be a good idea. I mean, what do you need a wife like that for? So, you know, another approach is the opposite. Derech bakasha is that we tell the woman, listen, stop embarrassing yourself and embarrassing your husband. Nobody's going to listen to you anyway because of the takana. So why aren't you smarter and just shut up? All right, there's many other approaches as well, though. Derech bakasha is that what we do is we make things, you know, we make things nice for them, and we make it like a beautiful seuda and be mevake shiratzon because we believe that she just doesn't really like her husband. So, you know, let's try to get them together and talk it out and so on, but not to allow her to get a divorce just because she claims this. All right. Others learn that derech bakasha, this is like Rabbeinu Hanano. Derech bakasha means go to somebody who will be mevakish rachamim min hashamayim. We tell her, why don't you go to the grave of such and such a tzaddik, you know, and pray for your husband's ejaculation. So it's derech bakasha. You know, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu's got all kinds of intercessive tzaddikim, and they will be mevakish. So we've got the tzaddik who's a bucky in how to get people into proper ejaculation. It's a very funny kind of approach. But that's a bakasha. Bakasha is usually a different word for tefillah, right? Okay, but whatever it means that we'll try to help her out on some kind of level, but we're certainly not going to insist that the husband should give her a get. That's crazy to give that into her hands. Netula nimiyudim. If she wants to go around claiming, you know, I swear off sex forever. So we tell the husband, go be made for your chelek in the nether, if it was done, obviously, in a way that really asser her to him. So she makes herself asura, like we said before. She assers the hana. So then he can be made for his chelek, and she's allowed to continue to sleep with him. And who cares? If they get divorced and she wants to sleep with somebody else, let her go get on a tar for the nether. But we no longer believe these kinds of claims on the part of a woman. Now, of course, this raises the tremendous question of how in the world, if we really thought that she is believed the way we did in terms of the Mishnah Rishayna, so then how could the Chachamim be matir something that is Asur Midiraisa? In other words, we're saying that the truth is that she really is believed, but in order to avoid giving her a kli by which she could destroy her marriage, which was itself ipso facto be a tremendous problem in marriage, so the Rabbanit said, well, we're not going to believe you. How can the Rabbanit say we're not going to believe you if in fact she is asura to her husband? How do you explain that? I mean, the Rabbanit, they can say things that are b'sheva al ta'aseh, but how are they matir a kohen to have continued relations with a woman who is asura on her, on him. Okay, so this is a question, because remember, ein beitin matir davar that is also menatara ela b'shev al tasa no v'yirtz pekum v'aseh. So even though he brings that Chazal can do this migdar milta shine, I think Gavi already left us here, so but we'll try to remind him to write down migdar milta shine. It's different. In order for there to be a takana that things shouldn't go sour, they can even go pekum v'aseh. Says the Ran, but that it's true only if it's a rasha. Rasha means it's not a permanent takana. It's something that for now we put into effect, but not that we created a Mishnah Chronah, so that couldn't be the case either. So the Ran has a very fascinating approach. And the approach in the Ran is, there are other approaches. I mean, the simple approach is, that we no longer believe her because we really no longer believe her. Not because we made a takana not to believe her, but because the changes in society are such that we have no reason to believe her. Since the only reason we believed her in the beginning was because of the fact that she's putting herself in such embarrassing circumstances that it would never occur to anybody, unless she's insane, to do. Therefore, she must be telling the truth. Once that's not true, so then we have no reason to believe her. It's not that Stam were being Magdir Milta. Okay, but that is, you know, the simplest approach, which the Ran doesn't take. He takes this as, it's still crazy to think a woman would do this, but we need to make a takana not to allow her that freedom. So therefore, he explains that this is one of those things that has to do with that anybody who gets married is al daited rabbanon mekadesh. Remember, called a mekadesh, al daited rabbanon mekadesh means that, as we've had many times before, that there are cases where afkeinu rabbanon reshusa minayo. Gabi, please write down. Remember, I'm sure you did already write this down. Called a mekadesh, al daited rabbanon mekadesh, and write down migdar milta shine. So the idea over here would be that the rabbanon could be mafkia a kedushin from you lechatchila. So therefore, in the event that she was actually raped, the Rabbanan are metakein that the original Kiddushin was not a Kiddushin, and therefore she wasn't raped as an Eishes Ish, and she doesn't become Asura. The problem is, as the Ran says, that if she were raped by a Goy or by an Isser to a Kohen, so then that wouldn't apply, and the Gemara doesn't seem to make a distinction in this. So he asks this as a kasha on his own approach. But remember that we've utilized this idea in other cases. Like, let's say somebody makes a shliach to give a get, and then he's mevatel the shliach. So over there, the rabbanon were metakein that the get is valid, because there's no way for her to know that he was mevatel the shliach. And we said over there, oh, how could he? What do you mean it's valid? How can they make a real marriage and not a marriage by pretending that the get is valid if the shliach wasn't a shliach? And that became also one of the Afki'inu Rabbanan, the original Kiddushin. I mean, I remember we asked each time, well, how does that work? Does it work with Hefker Best than Hefker in terms of the money for the Kiddushin? How about if he was Bekadosh or Bibia? And we said, Ashvinu Rabbanan Labilas or Bilaznus. I'm sure you remember we had this many, many times. And it even becomes an interesting way for a mamzer to unmamzer himself. This is astounding, which many of the poskim hold actually is true. Because if, and this is like today, something that would be quite common. Say a guy's father wasn't religious, right? Never divorced his mother, and mother wasn't religious. She went and married somebody. And, you know, thinking a civil divorce is enough. He's a mamzer. What in the world is he supposed to do? So all that he would need to do is to now get his father to send his mother a real get and then be mevatel the shliach. So then the Rabbanan took away the original kiddushin that he had given to his mother, and then he was never a mamzer because they were never married. Not bad, huh? Anyway, so these are, okay, fascinating kind of issues in terms of their practical applications, but in any event, this is how the Ran attempts to approach the sugya over here. So therefore, nowadays, we don't believe this, and Iboilu. Amrala ba'alat me'a ani, mahu shetochal betruma. Now the question is, How far would we go on this? I mean, if, let's say, you're telling me that in terms of a get and so on, okay, we don't force her to give a get, she doesn't collect the ksuv anymore. How about if she says to the Kohen that I was raped? Can she still eat truma because the Mishnah said that she has to bring a raya? Or, I mean, that was only binogea continuing to be in the relationship with her husband, but I mean, midiraisa, she should be asur from eating truma. Would it apply even to the truma? Rip Shesha says, of course she can eat truma. Because if she cannot eat truma, then everybody will say, oh-ho, so the truth is she's not eating any truma because she really was raped. And that would mean that then when she has children from him, well, you see, these children are no good. They are chalalim because she's stuck with her husband even though she was raped. Like she said, we really believe her. Rava says, no, she doesn't eat, because who's going to say that? She can eat chulin. The fact that she's not eating truma, nobody knows. She's not eating truma because she doesn't have any truma. I mean, she's going to eat chulin. I understand. Well, we have little chips in the food that people can walk by and look at their phone and say, she's eating truma, she's eating chulin. It's crazy. Nobody knows. She can eat chulin and not eat truma. So nobody's going to think anything. Well, my Rava Rav Sheshes is made that even though I say she can eat truma, but if the Kohen died or divorces her, so then she has to stop eating truma, even though she has children that are alive. Normally, an Eishes Kohen that has children that she had from that Kohen can continue to eating truma, remember? Because, look, the only reason Rav Sheshes allowed her to eat truma was Shalolo Tzilaz Albanea, right? But now she's not going to have any new children. So Nis Armalov and Nis Garsha, even if she doesn't eat truma now, people will say, okay, of course, the reason she's not eating truma now is that after her husband died, or after her husband divorced her, so at that point she became asur from eating truma. I don't know if she was sleeping around with, or maybe she was raped at that point, but they're not going to realize that it has anything to do with what happened 20 years ago, and all of a sudden, now they're going to say, see, she was really telling the truth over there. And in fact, Amar of Papa, Rava gave us a little bechina. He asked us once, okay, boys, what's the din of an Eishes Kohen who is raped and is a surah to him? Does she get a ksuva or does she not get a ksuva? Now, here we're talking about we know. In other words, we have witnesses that she was raped. Does she get a ksuva or not? Do we say that, look, an ones vis-a-vis a husband who's a Kohen is the same thing as a real adulteress for Gabi Yisrael, correct? Because in both cases, you have to get a divorce. So just like, obviously, in the case of the Beratzen of the Yisrael, she's not going to get a ksuva. So the same thing would be true that an Eishes Kohen, even though it was a rape, is the equivalent of real adultery. Or maybe she could say, listen, there's no problem with me. I am mutter to my husband. It's just that you are not a normal husband. You're a Kohen. And therefore, that kahuna part, I mean, that's not part of our marriage. That's part of you and your problems. And therefore, gavrut nistachafra sadeyu. This became your mazel ra. You had the bad luck to be a Kohen and with a wife who was raped. But I mean, as far as marriage is concerned, I'm perfectly okay. So he asked us that, says Rav Papa, and we brought him a great raya. We all know what the raya is, obviously, from our Mishnah. Matnitini. Since it says, yesh laktuva, how do you understand the case in the Mishnah? But mayaskinan. Are we talking about an Eishes Yisrael? And what? And she said, I'm tamei alecha because I willingly went around sleeping with somebody else. So then why would she have a ksuva? Iberatzon, amai klumi yesh laktuva. And if she was raped, why does she need a divorce? Mika Mitzra Agava, that we said he has to give her a divorce? It's got to be talking about an Eshet Kohen. And again, if she's saying that I wanted to sleep with somebody else, why would she get a ksuva? She's not going to be worse than an Eshet Yisrael. But obviously, if she's an adulteress, no ksuva. Elalavba ones. And it says she gets a ksuva. And we got 100 on that test. Perfect. Great. Okay, Rabosai, it's nice to have a perfect grade on a Rosh Chodesh. May we have a perfect grade on the Dinim of Rosh Chodesh, a perfect grade on the Kapora of Rosh Chodesh. And just like that Kapora was brought for Tumas Migdash, Vikadeshav, anything that was Metame, our minds, which is the Mikdash V'Kedeshav of ourselves and our lives, the Rosh Chodesh should be a kapora, and the Sor LaHashem should be a nice kapora for this whole messed up creation in which things had to be compromised just for them to work out. But remember, Aniyush Amarti Lolami Dai, who could say Litzorotai Dai, and who could say Fergolas Dai, and therefore we're putting in an application for Dai. Very good. Ad Buli Dai. That's what we want. See you, everybody. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Kol Tov. Chodesh Tov Umevorach.